Mr. Pullen, reel 8.
Apart from the captain, who else on a ship was an important figure as far as discipline was concerned?
Commander, now I tell you another thing about the Drake. They put me second captain of the yard with the commander. Commander was a fighting man. As I told you about the whaler, we had to paint the whaler, and I went down and with the put some pea flour in the pot mess.
Yeah.
That same commander, he turned me over to be in the second captain of the yard. I had to now measure up all the water and how much water to serve out to the ship's company every day. So when they was evaporizing the water, I had to see that the tanks was all filled, look, see? And then I started to work on averages. I only had to use so much water a day. I had to allow that to go out, see? And when the time came, I had overspent my time. My tanks were very low. Of course, I had to put down how low they were. At 9 o'clock at night, when the commander went the rounds, I used to give him the paper with the amount of water was in the ship, see? When he saw that, he kicked me all around the aft deck. He didn't like averages, see? He wanted to keep that water in a certain level. Of course, I couldn't help it because certain water was wanted and certain water wasn't coming in the tanks quick enough. Consequence was, wasn't long after that, I had to get up the soap and tobacco monthly. That was a monthly job, you know. And they served out a pound of tobacco a man, and so much soap a man, see. And this commander, he was a bit of a fighting man, and we were trying to get the ship ready to put to sea. They was putting in a new cooling apparatus in the magazines. And I was in this compartment getting the soap and tobacco when I heard him go to the dockyard mates and say, order them to get on with their work, want to get the ship out of dock, see? They said, go and look after your blue jackets, nary mind about us. And he hopped amongst them and beat him up. And they beat him up with hammer. And of course, he come crying me bleeding, look, see? Fetch the charge, Annie, he said in the dockyard. So I walked all around the dockyard for about 2 hours. Thought myself, I don't know where's any charge, and I can't find him. When I went back, he was sat in the on the quarter deck in a chair, bandaged up. He said, did you find that charge, Anne? I said, no, sir, I've been everywhere. I hadn't bothered about it. I thought at the time he kicked me all around the half deck for the average water business, see? That was the bad doing that ship.
Was it common or uncommon for lower deck people to actually be struck by commissioned officers?
No. I've never known a commissioned officer strike a man.
Well, this commander you've just said, kick you around the deck.
In that time, that was not striking a blue jacket, but striking a dockyard mate, you see. But I know one time there was a man adrift, and he was a fighting man in the Navy. And he said to this fighting man, 10 rounds with me on the quarter deck, or 10 days, 10 A. This fighting man said, 10 days, 10 A. So you see, they wouldn't take him on. So officers wasn't, I admire them, they were smart, used to talk well, and they always looked so smart in their uniform and that. Although they were tyrants, I admired them, because if it hadn't been for the naval discipline, it would have been hell on board ship. Men come on board drunk, they tear things all to pieces, in them days.
Yes.
And I have known a man to come on board the Caesar, or Jack Slack. He was drunk, you know. He'd fight anybody. And I've known a man to jump out of his hammock, hit him and put him to sleep and put him back in his hammock.
apart from the commander, as far as discipline was concerned, the master of arms would be a pretty important chap.
Yes, he was the chief of police.
Yeah. Did he have much power?
Only in a way, such as he could control the petty officers. He could detail off certain petty officers for their jobs. When I joined the ship up in Scotland, in the Master of Arms there.
Which ship was that?
That was a ship called the Thunderer, a battleship.
Yes.
And the Master of Arms there was asking for petty officers to take charge of the steamboats. We had two steamboats on board, 50-foot boats. First and second picket boats, they called them. These picket boats used to carry two 14-inch torpedoes and one 3-pounder gun on them. When they were, you know, they could carry 70 Marines fully equipped for war. Like. Well, my job was gunnery on board there, so I offered none of these petty officers to take on the job of the first picket boat. So I said to the Master of Arms, I'll take over that first picket boat if you like. He said, you got your own job to do in gunnery, you see. So I said, all right. There was no gunnery on board. We was travelling around with cadets now, travelling around the world with them, you know, as that was their training ship. As I say, David Luce, that Sea Lord, he was a cadet on board that ship.
See. Yeah. Go on about this Master of Arms.
Well, this Master of Arms couldn't get none of the petty officers to take over. However, I took over, and finally he went to a lieutenant named Clark. Clark was the boat officer. He said, I can't get none of them petty officers to take over. They've never had a boat. But he said, Pullen is offered to take over the first picket boat. Oh, he said, I'll see Pullen. So he sent for me, and he said, if you take over the first picket boat, you must be an exceptional petty officer. Oh, I said, I'm not an exceptional one, but I've been a coxswain now to a commander-in-chief.
Yeah.
So you see, I had a bigger boat than that, and a more, had to be more efficient where a commander-in-chief was concerned. Consequence was, I had to do the first trip. And I'd done the first trip at Oban in Scotland.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get you to tell me a bit more about the Master at Arms and what he was like as far as the discipline of the ship was concerned.
Well, this Master at Arms was a very good, very nice fellow.
Yeah.
A reasonable sort of a man. Mm. In fact, of course, he was a boy with me at one time. And he turned over to the police and he was made a Master at Arms eventually, see?
Yes. Well, what about the Master at Arms and the ship's police? How much power did they have aboard a ship?
Oh, he had all the power in the world as regards the lower deck, but not as regards the officers.
Yeah.
He still came under the officers just the same.
Yeah, well, what sort of power did they have over the lower deck?
Oh, he could, for instance, if you was in trouble, he could either get you out of it or push you farther into it.
How do you mean?
Well, he had every opportunity to be a man of, what should I say, unequal bearing, like. If he didn't like you, he could make it pretty hard for you. If he was reasonable, he would be rather easier towards you.
Well, couldn't you complain if he was unfair?
No, you couldn't complain against a Master at Arms. If you did, you were in for a bad time. And he always had about two or three police under him. That was men that had been one-time blue jackets, you know, so it's turnover for that job, see? Non-combatants.
What sort of chaps were they, as a rule?
Oh, some of them was pretty bad to deal with.
In what way?
Well, I know one in the Glasgow. I was in a bit of a trouble there. And he said, I got to worry you, Ted, for all you're worth. He said, so he says, you better look out. I was in a bit of trouble. And that was over an officer swearing at me, looks, as I told you before.
Mm.
Consequence was, he wanted me to scrub his hammock. And I wouldn't scrub it. I left it in the, I left it on the upper deck, wet through. Now he could go to an officer and say, that pudding, you know, is a bit of a nuisance. He wants watching. They could do things like that, see.
What other sorts of things could they do?
I don't think you could do much, really, in the way of hurting you. You could always make a complaint against him, Luxy. But I don't know if you could make a complaint against the man at arms, because he was it.
Mm-hmm. What was the sort of routine of the ship's police? What kind of things would they do as a matter of daily routine?
Well, they would go around the mess decks. If you want a towel up in the improper place, they would have you for that, look, see. Any little item that was out of the ordinary. Say, for instance, you hadn't placed your tin gear on the end of the table rightly, see. They could run you in for that. They were, there were some of them was pretty tough to deal with. Like you find something, and they got a position and they want to use it.
Yes. Did they all exercise their power fairly?
No, they didn't. No, I found they didn't do that.
What kinds of unfair things would they do?
Well, in that way I was saying about this, Ship's Corporal Pink. He was a man that was, we always called him two-faced. He would talk to you, and then when he was talking to an officer, he would talk about you. Man like that, see? And finally, when I was a petty officer, they change his now, like a chameleon, his colour. Now, I was coming down from the gunnery school one day.
When was this?
In Portsmouth.
Yes, when?
19...
During the war?
No, after the war.
Okay.
And the same ship's corporal, he was out of the Navy now, took his pension. And he was riding our Harley Davidson's motorbike and sidecar. So he swung round and come to speak to me, see. Well, we had a yarn and saying how things was going, see. He was nice now, see. That same day, he was going up Port Stanley over to his motorbike and sidecar, and he was pushing it up, and he had an hemorrhage come on, and he died there in the road. And that's all I know about him.
Mm. Would the ship's police take bribes?
Yes, yes. Now, I'll tell you what. When I first joined the barracks in 1904, we had a man called Shiner Wright, and we'd have your bags busted in the canteen flat, and he had his book there, see, with the amount of clothes, and used to say cloth trousers, drill frock, whatever it was, see, put your tenner on the book, see. I had no sixpence. I said, I haven't got no money. Anyhow, that didn't suit Shiner. But I was in a terrible state with him afterwards.
Sorry, I don't quite understand this. You mean he was checking...
Your clothes.
Your clothes. And if he called out an item and you didn't have it...
If you didn't have it, you'd have to pay him. In any case, or you'd have to... If you didn't pay him, you'd have to get a new pair of trousers or jumper or what jersey, whatever it might be, see. But... He was always after the money. I believe I heard afterwards that he was found out and caught, you see, and disraised over it.
Yeah. Why would some men prefer to give him a tanner rather than get a new number six or whatever it was?
Well, because was cheaper in a way, see.
Yeah.
They could go on a bit longer before they bought that special article that they was deprived of. Oh yes, that was things going on like that.
What about aboard ship?
I never found them aboard ship like it. But I always found them very, in the mornings, searching you, that's, you know. They were very cute, trying to find out whether you had any spirits on you, or bringing any intoxicating liquors on board. They caught you at that. You was in for a good outing.
Were the ship's police unpopular then?
Oh, yes. I don't think anybody ever liked them, really. I've never known them to be very popular with men, you know, see? They seemed to be, as soon as they changed over for that, they were a class on their own. They were the police. And they're like the police out here today, in a way. Once a policeman, always a policeman, eh?
I assume a lot would depend on whether the Master at Arms was a reasonable man or not.
Yes, well, I never knew the Master at Arms to be reasonable in any way. He was always himself, like, you know. If he was in trouble, he'd push it on you. You see. For instance, I go back